Thank you. I would like to thank our organizers, and especially it's very pleasant to see that almost a half of all people actually came after the dinner. Yeah, so it's probably the perfect talk to have after the party, because that's the most technical talk I've ever gave. So I hope you follow it from the beginning till the very end. So it's based on the recent work we did with Amit Sivar, who quite surprisingly also came here. So recently we saw a huge progress in understanding the exact spectrum of n equals 4 super young mills. So I listed some random papers. And the solution is given, as we know, by this Y system, or equivalently Hirota equation, which is this set of functional equations. But the most non-trivial is this shape of this domain where this T functions live outside the zero. And this set of functional equations have to be supplemented with some actually quite simple analytical data, which is especially simple in terms of T functions rather than in terms of Y functions. And then on top of this, Hirota equation defines you some classical integrable discrete dynamics. And this is very helpful to actually reduce this infinite set of functional equations to something finite, which is called Finley. So this was our last year work. Actually, I forgot to put all the references. I only cited my papers, so sorry about this. So the idea is to use actually these methods, which we developed for the full spectral TBA, to this system of TBA equations, which you saw twice yesterday. So just to mention that at the moment, what can we do with this Y system? We can solve it numerically, right, for various states. And at the moment, there is a matched strong coupling with the three first orders, and with so far five orders at weak coupling, and in a couple of weeks, six order should be included here. So I have empty space for my slide. However, so it may be a bit disappointing that we just have numerics, and there are very few instances when we actually can solve these equations analytically. This is an asymptotic regime, or large volume, which also accurately describes the solution at weak coupling, and establishing by this equivalence with the Luscher corrections up to some subtleties. And another case which can be solved analytically is a strong coupling limit, but strong coupling for very particular states when you have lots of excitations. So basically this is a classical strings. So in particular, we don't know even how to expand that strong coupling, just a TBA equation for the simplest Kanish operator, which we have to do numerically and extrapolate with lots of subtleties. So what are the chances, when should we expect some analytical solution in principle for the spectrum? And so recently there was this formula, a nice formula derived by, conjectured by Benjamin for the slope function, and it is completely analytical for any value of coupling. You can just plug and you get the result, very compact, and it's given in terms of the, I don't know, it's called probably modified Bessel functions of second kind, according to Mathematica. And another very similar result was also recently obtained in the context of this quark-antiquark potential. Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is again given by a ratio of Bessel functions. So this is the motivation that we should try to go to the near BPS limit in the hope to find some analytical solution. On this way, what we hope that we will see some extra structure, which we overlooked previously when studying a more complicated system, because here we know there is an explicit result and it should be possible to solve the equations analytically. So we should try hard until we get the analytical results and develop as many methods as needed in order to reach this goal. So having the strong motivation is quite nice. Now, and however, even though these equations are quite similar, there is an important difference that the slope function, it can be computed completely from asymptotic bit ansatz, whereas this expression, as I will show, it follows completely from TBA, and the contribution from asymptotic bit ansatz is exactly zero. So it's precisely opposite situation. Here, the wrapping corrections are suppressed, and here, the asymptotic contribution is precisely zero. So even though they look very similar, the starting point is completely different. It's rather opposite. So yesterday, probably you remember, there were a couple of talks about this. So what I'm going to consider is this Wilson line with some insertions of a local operator, so Z to the L. And in the notations of yesterday, I will take a particular case, theta equal to zero and phi very small, but in principle, what I'm going to discuss should be possible to generalize for any theta, provided that phi is close to theta. So in this way, we will cover this three-parametric family of observables by having arbitrary two parameters. Yeah, so it's already quite good, because we will solve for arbitrary L, and provided we can generalize to theta, we have two arbitrary parameters out of three. Okay, so now I need some assistance. So what I'm going to do now? TBA. And, oops, okay, it was not good. So what are these TBA equations? let me make some picture. So usually Y system, to understand Y system, it's nice to have this diagram. So the circles here, they symbolize the Y. In this corner, it's always dangerous. They symbolize Y functions. There are two parameters A and S on this lattice. So that this is not 1-1, this is 2-2, and so on. so there is some simplification in this limit, because for the general angles, the system of TBA equations is exactly, almost exactly as complicated as the spectral TBA equations. But when angles are close to each other, or in particular when theta is zero and phi is small, there is an important simplification that this middle node wise, they have the form. So only the quadratic pole contributes. There is also some smooth part, which is, however, suppressed by phi to the 6. And then y11, which is this y function, is minus 1 to the leading order, and then there is correction, which I denote by psi. Then y22 is very similar to the leading order. It is equal to y11. And then there is some new function phi. So the psi and phi are related to fermionic nodes. No, this is in the limit phi going to zero. Ah, okay. Maybe there is also some smooth contribution, but it's irrelevant, right? Because it's, this will contribute the most. And then YA1 then there is some interesting feature that the Y functions here and here. So this one's I denote 1 as and YA1. So to the leading order they are equal to each other up to inversion. And then so that's important just from to keep track of notations. Let me have it here. M is A. Quite naturally. And this M is of course S. Well, here as well. Okay, maybe I should rush. Okay, and then before I show you the equations, so let me show you the equations. This is how these equations arrive to our small theoretical physics laboratory. And now we'll try to dissolve them little by little. And let me explain notation. So Ka is just a standard kernel. There is also Ka hat. Or U square minus U square. A. And then Ka tilde is the same with the square root inverted. And then there is also S of U, which is an inverse shift operator. This is just 1/4. Okay. So, what are the other notations? The star, it means convolution, so it's integral from minus to plus infinity. And the star with hat is an integral from minus to g. Minus 2g to 2g. Okay, so they're already simplified in the sense that there is just one infinite series of integral equations here, and then three finite plus three equations which don't have index. In this one also have index which runs from 1 to infinity. So there are two infinite series of equations plus a couple of equations. Yes? How to do what?
How to guess all these asymptotics with phi?
These asymptotics. So the crucial point is this, that phi zero is very suppressed, and the only thing which matters is this pole at the end. Phi 4, this you can see from asymptotic solution, for example. This was explained yesterday. And then once this y's are suppressed, you see that there is a symmetry you can reflect with respect to diagonal. So to the leading order, this y should be equal to this y. Right? And then that's why there is this ya, ys, which is the same for both of them. And then there is some correction. Already to the next order, they are different. And so Y11, Y22 is quite similar. You can understand. So the plan is to get rid first of this infinities. Namely, we reduce this infinite system of integral equations plus this infinite system of discrete equations to finitely many. At the first stage, here we use this method of Finley. And then we will observe that there is some extra analyticity which actually allows us to solve this exactly. So how do we do? So let's take this infinite series of equations for simplicity first drop these two terms, the corrections, right? So what we see here is actually some people may recognize this is a TBA equation for just SU2 SU2 wing, as one can say, and the corresponding functional equation, if you exponentiate and do the shifts, this will remove this inverse shift operator, and you get this functional set of equations. So this is equivalent to this, plus very simple analyticity condition, that y function is analytical inside the strip from minus, roughly speaking, from minus im to plus im, plus minus 1. So actually minus 1. Having just this functional equation, we can solve it quite easily, just by going to the Hirota parameterization by introducing this T's. Okay, that's always can be done. And then this ansatz solves the functional equation provided these T's are organized in this way. So any T can be related just to the first one. So this will solve this infinite set of equations just in terms of one single function tau 1 or T curly 1. And then we have to ensure that analytical property of this T1 as such that Y has indeed this gap of analyticity with no cuts in the middle. And this ansatz is very simple. This is this kernel Ka for A equal to 1. With this convolution from minus 2g to g, acting on some density rho. Okay? So, in this way, we solve this equations for any m bigger than 2. And for m equals to 2, there is extra contribution because of this Kronecker, this kind of a source term. And this source term is what will determine us rho. So, once we plug this ansatz here, we will be able to determine rho from the equation for m equals to 2.
Question.
Yes.
The T system looks a little bit strange. It's just linear, so each T
n is... it's not T system. It's already a solution of T system, and it's always possible to find such solution in a particular gauge. You see, this gauge freedom is used to...
What I meant is usually T2 is T1 times T1 minus some explicit scalar function. And here you have a sum of T's, no products.
No products. This is not Hirota equation. This is solution of Hirota equation. So this T, T1, they also satisfy Hirota equation, but actually need more functions to write it down explicitly. So you can check very explicitly that once you plug this kind of T's into this ansatz for Y's, the Y system in functional form will be automatically satisfied. So if you want to give deeper reason for this, you should use Wronskian solution and then choose the gauge in which sum of Q functions are equal to 1, and then you will get this ansatz precisely.
Yeah, okay, but then the question is probably, is the solution unique? So maybe this is a solution, but...
It is always possible to use gauge freedom to put one of Q functions to 1. The question is what kind of analytical properties you get after that, and that we studied intensively in our paper with Dima, Sebastian, and Volodym.
But you mentioned the SU2 cases, and in the SU2 cases, T1 is usually a polynomial of a certain degree, and T2 is a polynomial of...
Polynomial type of solution. Actually, so polynomial type of solution you can also try to put in this form. And actually if you want polynomial, because this is ground state solution if you want, in principle there is a freedom you can put here also some polynomial. But actually any T will solve this system of equations. So if you add here polynomial, it will be still fine. That's the answer to this puzzle that you just put rho to 0, T1 to polynomial, that's it. We can discuss later. this is my ansatz. I have right to have this ansatz, whatever I want, provided this will solve this equation. And indeed, if you plug it solves, except m equals 2, and to solve m equals to 2, you have to require that this source term is given by some combination of this density. And k1 slash, it means the following, you see, plus, first I have to explain, Plus, it means that argument is shifted by I over 2, and once you shift the argument by I over 2, you hit the pole in this kernel, and so the slash, it means principal value convolution. Okay, now let's actually restore these terms which we dropped at the first step. So now, of course, this term to add is quite simple. You just have to modify this density a little bit, just correct the density. But these terms are a bit more tricky, and this is a bit of a new kind, because this C, you see, it's 1 over cosh. It has infinitely many poles on the imaginary axis. And so we have to introduce also some poles into our ansatz. So again, we use this, but now we replace T by some correction, and this T1, so you see there is this term which indeed just corrects the density, plus this term is a polynomial which we discussed, and it is needed to ensure a good asymptotics, because asymptotics is also included into a set of TBA equations I didn't show you. plus these terms which are just pure poles. Okay, and these coefficients are some coefficients which I have to find by plugging this ansatz into these equations. No, this is, so this y is some strange combination. You see, it is 1 plus phi squared x. Whereas right and left, there's some 1 half here. So actually it is square root of product of right and left. So it's like averaged y.
Okay, but you had a slide when you solved right band. Just next one. And you have solution for y?
Yeah, this is just first step. For simplicity, okay, for pedagogical reasons, let's first drop this and solve. It's quite simple. And now we add these terms and just a small modification. Namely, we add polynomial and then some term with the poles.
Do you need separately a right and upper bound?
No. I showed you the complete set of equations. Right and left bound, because they're almost equal to each other, you can almost combine together this equation.
Okay.
It's simultaneous with solution for upper and left. Because you have this parameter phi, so what you do, you expand solution in phi, and then you compose y right and y left, upper and right, in this way, with some one halves. But, okay, don't matter. So we solve this equation. No. And now we have to fine-tune this B's in order to satisfy this structure of poles on the right-hand side, and this leads to this discrete equation, so this recursive equation with three terms. Okay, and CA, probably I didn't explain, but CA is just equal to this tau A evaluated at zero. We will use it later. So it appears because, of course, you see these poles are at zero real parts. So when you plug it here to compute residues, you will need lots of these CAs. Okay, so what's the situation? Now the situation is that, of course, we like very much this very simple equation. Now we also managed to reduce this equation to just simple, to a couple of equations. And also in principle, we may say that we like this. We will actually take care of it later. But in the right-hand side, everything explicit, and it is just single equation, nothing to be worried about. However, here in the equation for CA, and CA actually gives you the energy, so energy, roughly speaking, is a sum of the CAs. I don't remember the exact formula. In order to find the anomalous dimension, we have to find all the CAs. So that's actually our main object. But in this equation for CA, you see there is this complicated kernel, which I didn't even write down, and a sum going to infinity. So now what we do, we plug our ansatz for this y here, and then using so-called telescoping procedure to get rid of infinite sums. Right? Right. So actually, energy is something like this, and then B is this. Okay. So now let's take care of this equation. And so once we plug our ansatz, What happens is actually not only the storm, it becomes finite sum, but also it kills some of the storms, which is a very nice sign. So what happens is that this equation gets replaced by this. So in terms of this curly T's, everything is much simpler. But actually we can do even better by using, remember this equation for all, which I derived in the beginning. So now we can interpret it a bit differently. Namely, we can say that this equation tells us that there is some quantity eta, which we define in this way. And actually this eta, it has another representation this, in this form. And indeed, if we divide this eta by this eta, we will get an identity due to this relation. Okay, so instead of telling that this is an equation for all, we can say that this is actually some formula which allows us to self-consistently define eta in two different ways. And then you see that what appears here is eta squared. Due to two possible representation of eta, we can just say this is eta this times eta this. But they're equal to each other, so it's eta squared, and even this miserable one-half gets cancelled. And what we get is just this equation. So you can see that out of very awful equation with infinite sum, we, in terms of this new eta, we get just a super simple equation. Yeah, so what's that about? Now we can do the next step. We just use this definition of eta and we can get rid of all fermions of phi and theta. And let me summarize. So what we get, so actually this phi and theta in terms of eta rho, some of these combinations are quite nice. And what we get is this set of equations. Now there are no longer any infinite sums and any infinite series of functional equations. We just get three equations for rho, for eta, and for the correction to the rho, remember. Actually, this equation is linear. And then also we find CA once we know eta by this simple integral. So in terms of eta, CA is just some simple integral. F1. This? It's k hat at zero. It's k hat at zero, so it's something trivial. So just some square root. Okay? So actually here there is also in the expression for the energy some garbage with square root. So only three equations, and so first reaction when we saw this was to solve this numerically. Okay, so of course it's quite frustrating usually to solve something numerically, but we did this, so this is rho, eta, delta rho for various values. The load, it's just a discrete, it's not a functional equation. So in principle you can do some, I don't know, generating function and put it in the form of one single equation if you want. So the one infinite series of discrete equation counts as one functional equation in complexity.
So CA are numbers, that's why you count them as just one
equation.
Yeah,
I don't care about them, they're numbers, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we find a numerical solution and we get this plot. And actually, I told you in the beginning that for L equal to zero, there was an exact solution known from localization, and this line is this exact analytical solution, and with precision like 7 or 8 digits, this matches, and this point is unfortunately missing, but when we solved it analytically, we didn't care much. So next step is to solve this analytically. So we need some new idea to put into these equations in order to be able to do this. So the idea is to give a look to this nice equation and study its analytical structure. So k hat, let me repeat again, is just the square root. So it has a branch cuts at plus minus 2g. And then some poles. Okay, so the product rho times theta is this kind of function with a cut and then a series of poles at integers. So what would be the most natural thing? The following. So first rho, it was a density, and density by its nature is something with square root, right? Because it is a discontinuity on a cut of y function in principle. So rho, it must have a cut, at least one. And so if you look on this, then the most reasonable assumption is that eta doesn't have any cuts at all. That's the most natural. And then actually we checked that all poles from the product, they actually goes to eta. And then rho, it gets some extra poles u, k, at some positions which we have to determine. Yeah, one can prove it by plugging this ansatz into the TBA equations, but we... So this I call ansatz, right? So that's why I call ansatz, because I assume some analytical structure and then plug and check it. Oh, I mean, I don't care. Just a minor change in the logic. Whether you derive it or you first assume and then check self-consistency, there is no difference. When you derive, you also prove uniqueness. Uniqueness. What? Yeah, as a mathematician, as a physical mathematician, we should distinguish this difference, but next time. Okay, so we have expression for eta, some ansatz in terms of this infinitely many zeros of eta, and then poles, they're fixed. And then eta at infinity, it goes to 1. This is also easy to see from the functional equations. So equivalently, we can describe eta in terms of this residues Ea. So now what we do, we plug this ansatz and have fun. So let's take the most ugly equation we have. So let me remind that you have also to say what is this, and this is given in terms of this, t is this, then tau is this, and then b you have to determine out of c using this relation. So it's super ugly. But now if we plug our ansatz, this ansatz, what we find is this equation is just tells us that residue is equal to this. That's it. See? That's miracle number one. And so where we are after that, we got rid of all this garbage. And actually now we no longer care about this equation because tau doesn't appear anywhere. So this correction to the density was important to find this tau, but somehow it's now irrelevant. So, and what's left, this one, as I said, we like very much. What's left is this equation. So now let's repeat our trick. Let's pick this equation and plug our ansatz again. And so what we see, first observation, is that this factor, which actually originates from the boundary dressing phase, it's precisely the boundary dressing phase, the only purpose in life of this term is to cancel poles and eta. You see? So even if you had no idea about this term, you would probably guess it just by requiring some nice analytical properties. And now what remains is just a product of u minus ua, and under the log this is a sum, so it's just a bunch of very simple integrals, which one can take. And so what this integral does, so you see this k tilde, it has some square roots and so on, and moreover integration is around the cut. So what it does, basically it replaces this spectral parameter u into the Zhukovsky transformed spectral parameter. So that's what this integral does. It just replaces u by x, roughly speaking. So xk is a Zhukovsky image of the zeros of eta, and ya is an image of these integers, I integers. Actually, before I forgot two, but okay. And now you see that you shouldn't see this before I tell you that it's not exciting. You can see that the CA cancels, A cancels, everything cancels, and what you get is something like this. So you get a beta-like equation for the zero. But with the only difference that the zeros, they are playing a role of, some impurities and homogeneities, whereas the trivial zeros, A over 2, they are playing a role of the beta roots. Oh, you know. Okay, so, okay. Let's see how it will work. So we have this beta equation, and that's the only thing we have to solve to be happy. Once we know positions of zero of eta, we can reconstruct eta, and then energy is just one step to get energy. So we reduce the full system of integral equations, infinite system of integral equations, just to this beta and that equation.
Or express the y functions in terms of the t's and
yes.
The t-n's in terms of t1. And for t1, there is a q-type system of expressions. And that is identical to this one.
Yeah, so this system is indeed completely different from this one. And the reason is that you see this Baxter equation, it has a crossing type of a shift in the spectral parameter. So it is not a shift by I over 2, is what you get for that. Hirota equation, but rather has shifts x to 1 over x. And actually this is quite fun because this is exactly the type of the shifts which appears in the bubble and that for the minimal surfaces. You see? So starting from the TB equation with normal shifts, we actually derive something which reminds strongly the bubble and that for the minimal surfaces. Of course we have very trivial from the point of view of the bubbles, boundary condition, but that's why we get just one single t-function. Right? Otherwise, probably you would get many t-functions related in some way, and this is what the bubble and that is. So, by its nature, this is a very different type of Baxter equation. It is a Baxter equation in x to 1 over x. Okay, and now let's use standard tricks. What this equation tells? It tells that this t is entire function with some zeros and with this property when you flip x to 1 over x. So it has zeros at a over 2. So the such function is, of course, just sinh, which we find up to a constant. But what we actually need is q's, right? So how do we subtract q's out of sinh? You see, actually, this part is like contains only positive powers of x, and this part contains only negative powers of x. So q is related to a positive part of t. When you re-expand this t of u, the sinh of u, in terms of x's, what it generates you? It generates you this Bessel functions, and actually this is how the Bessel functions appears both for the slope function of Basso in here. And now we fix this constant by requirement that q of 0 is 1, right? This immediately tells us that c1 is 1 over Bessel 1. And so q1 is just sum over positive x's with the coefficients of Bessel functions. So see, it's very simple. We found explicitly q, and now knowing q, it is trivial to find eta. And now if you know eta, you can find CA and you will find energy and that will be indeed a ratio of Bessel. So now in a more general case, it's actually funny because now this T, it has extra y to the L at infinity. So you can actually have a freedom to multiply by some polynomial this sinh. However, if you see the structure, it doesn't have, if you see a structure of expansion, around zero, then there are no powers of y between minus L and plus L. So you, one have to fine-tune this polynomial t in such a way that the sinh, which have in principle all powers of y from minus to plus infinity, it cancels precisely the powers inside this gap. So this is some linear problem for the coefficients of p. And then Q, it will be positive part, and Q of 1 over Y is negative part. So it is some linear system where there are lots of Bessel functions, and it's not surprising the solution is given by some determinant, right? Where this matrix M is given by this. So it's lots of Bessel functions. And then the final results in terms of this M is this. So now some examples for L equals 0. Indeed, we reproduce this result. For L equals 1, we get something new. And then for 2 and 3, it's very easy to generate analytical result from what I said, just some determinant of L by L matrix. And indeed, it matches perfectly the numerics, which I showed you before. Do I have 6 more minutes? Good. So, classical limit. Okay. So, now we have this toy. We can do something with it. So, weak coupling is a bit boring because up to the high order, solution is just given by the Luscher formula. So, it's not fun. But what is funny is the classical limit. So, classical limit is a limit when both the coupling and the size of this matrix goes to infinity. Because this matrix L is like angular momentum of the string. So, okay, let's do some worksheet calculation, at least mimic that we are doing something. So there is some kind of ansatz. We plug it, there are Virasoro constraints, blah, blah, equations of motion. So you solve, then you find energy, and that's the result. So the result for the energy is given in a parametric form in terms of L. So you have to find omega from this equation for a given L, and then plug it here, and you get energy. So this is just worksheet consideration. And then what we observe is that these equations are exactly the same, not very surprisingly, because you see this elliptic functions, is exactly the same as SU2 folded string solution with some particular choice of quantum numbers. And then also we know the algebraic curve immediately from this solution. So this actually should be... someone should compare with this result. Okay, it's complicated to find. So that's algebraic curve. Now, and actually that's a precise algebraic curve of giant magnon somehow. So for some people it could be exciting. So now what happens from TBA? From TBA we have this matrix, which is now infinite size matrix, and we have to compute its determinant. So how do we compute the determinant? Before we do this, let's do some rewriting. Namely, we use this integral representation for Bessel function, and this allows to write determinant in terms of just a multiple integral with this weight, and then I just replace the Bessel functions by some powers of x. Right? So it's really elementary. And now the determinant is actually something like Wundermann determinant. The only difference is that you see here there are only even powers of x. So what you get is actually van der Mond square of, so van der Mond is replaced by difference of squares. And actually this is all minus two matrix models as far as I understood. And now, the classical limit of this is, what is the classical limit? It's the limit when L goes to infinity. Now you see L is the size of matrices somehow, and G goes to infinity. So this is precisely the saddle point limit of this matrix model. And what is the saddle point equation? This is that equation. And now, many people here will solve it in a few minutes, I think, because it is just an application of KMMZ methods. And one gets this very simple solution for P, and guess what? Of course, it gives you exactly the same curve. Okay. And of course, the energy and all observables, they match automatically, more or less. Okay, so let me conclude. So what would be interesting to generalize to general angles, then... it should be also doable to introduce excitations on top. So instead of Z to the L, we can put arbitrary spin chain in the middle. And still the same should apply, and there will be some funny interaction of between this matrix model and some bit ansatz equations. Then we should also understand this equation, which I don't even what it means. And the idea is actually, so if you look on this curve, somehow one can say that, so this is a curve for the vacuum, but it already contains some cuts, which we can say that actually it's a BMN vacuum with some roots on top of this. And there are precisely L roots on top of this, which tells us that the ground state somehow, it is some simpler ground state plus L magnets on top. And this probably means that once we replace Z to the L by X to the L, the ground state energy will be really trivial and maybe even protected by some reasons, which we don't understand at the moment. Then it's also interesting to understand where does this matrix model comes from, because quite surprisingly, this is 2L to 2L matrix model, and actually you see this somehow a dream came through. Now we can quantize a string and a curved background exactly to all orders in lambda just using this lambda, just using the matrix model. So matrix model gives you exact definition of quantization of strings to all orders, whose planar limit gives you the classics, and then planar corrections in this matrix model, they correspond to the quantum corrections in the string theory. So it should be interesting to see where it comes from. It's a bit mysterious. Maybe one can derive it directly somehow from the string action. Oops, it seems like it's all. Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a regime where your cuts, you have two cuts there in the picture, where they would touch each other? Can you reach it by some parameter?
Yeah, that's the regime when L is much bigger than G. So actually it's only at infinity this critical point happens.
So according to the
phase transition, it's like phase transition but at infinity.
Yeah, but it's an interesting regime because according to the wisdom of matrix models, there will be a double scaling here where you scale the distance between two cuts somehow with L. And then
so
you get maybe some Penleve equations. So it's a very universal regime, worth studying probably.
Right. Yeah, in principle, it somehow corresponds to weak coupling because it's L much bigger than G. So maybe it interpolates weak coupling, but maybe there are some order of limits issues which usually appears, but I don't know. Yeah, it could be, of course, interesting. Mm-hmm. Then also comparing non-planar correction to the matrix model with curve type of quantization or any type of string quantization should be also funny.
The last TQ system you showed contained L as a parameter, but then I think the solution, T of X, you had an explicit expression, did not depend on L, at least one of the formulas.
It depended on L implicitly because density is a throw. It was a very non-trivial function of L.
Okay, but there was this sinh of something with X and 1 over X. I think there no L appeared, not even implicitly.
No, because you I see what's the confusion. This is, you see, this is bold face T.
Yeah.
Before it was curly T. Yeah. So this T is completely different. This is like effective Baxter.
Yeah.
Something.
But then the solution, I mean, for that thing, you have an explicit expression where there's no L. Is that right?
Yeah, for this, yes, but it is not related directly to curly T. It's a completely different object.
Yeah, but still, it's a little bit strange. L appears there, but in the final solution, there's no...
No, it depends through P. Because P,
okay,
you see,
is a different formula.
Polynomial. Actually, this P is another remark. This P is this orthogonal polynomials we generalize. Mm-hmm. What's the name? Chebyshev polynomials. Чебышев, пожалуйста.